May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. So this morning, we're going to start the sermon off a little differently. We're going to play a game. So I need everybody alive, awake, alert, enthusiastic. All right? So we're going to play a game, and I'm going to read a few lines of a poem, and then I'm going to stop. And when I stop, I want you to shout out really loud. It's hard to hear up here. Shout out the poet's name if you know it. Okay? And we're going to start with a theme of birds. That's a clue. Okay? Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary. I didn't even finish. That's great. Yes, Edgar Allan Poe with the rap, rap, rapping at my chamber door. Some of you are too good, too good. Okay, gotta wait till I finish. All right, the next one's a little bit harder, also a bird theme. The caged bird sings with a fearful trill of things unknown but longed for still. And his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. Maya Angelou. Yeah, Maya Angelou. All right, great. Y'all are getting to 8 o'clock here, you know. Okay, next one. Oh, captain, my captain, our fearful trip is done. The ship has weathered every rack. The prize we sought is won. The port is near, the bells I hear, the people all exulting, while follow eyes the steady keel, the vessel grim and daring.
Walt Whitman,
yes. All right. Two more. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler, long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth.
Cross.
All right, and we're going to end with some hope. Because I could not stop for death, he kindly stopped for me. The carriage held but just ourselves and immortality.
Dickinson,
yes. All right. So words are such interesting creatures. They can seep into our hearts, they can get into our bones, and we can remember them, even though we last heard them many, many years ago. Perhaps for you it was even grade school. And they can surface in an instant at exactly the right or the wrong moment. Think about the last time that you had to make a big decision. Maybe you were choosing where to work, or where to live, or what to drive. Think about that decision. Did you have to talk yourself into or out of a particular choice? What words are still echoing in your mind from that decision? See, we give immense power to words that are floating around in our head. I know when I'm walking in woods that are really dark at night, I find myself singing "This Little Light of Mine" because it gives me courage to not think about the coyotes or the bears or anything else out there that I am convinced is going to eat me. At the same time, we can give power to words that take away courage. I'm too fat for this outfit. I'm not good enough to complete that project, or I can't possibly make it on time. Words have so much power that we can even influence the words in other people's heads by virtue of our own. Hey, I love how you led that book study last week. We were all so engaged with that topic. Or, you're a natural singer. Keep using that voice for God. As people called Episcopalian, we place ourselves squarely in the Anglican tradition. And the Anglican tradition has some thoughts about words. It is our tradition to say, lex orandi, lex credendi. The law we pray is the law we believe. Or in other words, praying shapes believing. This means what comes into our minds and into our hearts and out of our mouths displays who we believe ourselves to be. It reveals what we care about or what direction we might want to take. And it also means that sometimes while we name positive attributes for ourselves, other times not so much. James puts it more bluntly. With the tongue we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so, he says. So our words can bring us closer to God, or as James says, they can set a forest ablaze. I want you to think back to a couple of years ago. There was this couple who held a gender reveal in a park. If you don't know what a gender reveal is, that's okay. It's been popular for about a decade or so, but it's largely on social media like Instagram or TikTok. It's when you have the birth of a new child or adopt a child, and you want to have some sort of party with family or friends to let them know what gender the child is. You might have colored balloons, or rainbow confetti, or you might have a cake that you cut and it's blue or it's pink. Well, this couple, they wanted to hold a gender reveal in a park. And they wanted to go to the next level, and so they involved pyrotechnics. They were going to have colored sparks in California in the summer. So what was meant to be a fun time for friends and family ended up burning down 5 homes, killing a firefighter, and landing them with 20 plus counts of misdemeanors. Use of a pyrotechnic in a dry environment was careless, but not malicious. And yet it yielded so much destruction. James's point is that the same thing often goes for our words. Careless digs at a person can bury a relationship. I'm going to say that again. Careless digs at a person can bury a relationship. A wise pastor taught me that years ago, and I wish I could say I remember that every time I speak, but I don't. And I have buried some relationships I didn't intend to bury. Taming our tongue. James is very interested in us taking on this impossible task. And while I find his imagery of a rudder guiding a boat compelling, I mean, have you ever tried to sail a boat with no rudder? Or surf without like the fin on the bottom, you're not going anywhere fast. But I have to tell you, I was really disappointed in his equine knowledge. Anyone who has ever sat on a horse can tell you that one's seat and legs and even body posture have way more effect in guiding a horse than pulling on a bit. Without some training, a chunk of metal in the mouth of a horse, it's just not going to stop a 2,000-pound animal. It's not. But perhaps I'm not being fair to James. And perhaps this is exactly his point, that curbing the tongue is a long-term process. It's not like we can suddenly put a bit in our mouth and we have total control over our words. There are these tiny decisions that we make each day to train us to become the kind of talkers, the kind of proclaimers that Jesus calls us to be. I have a friend from college who has committed herself to send one text message every day to someone she appreciates. And she's put no limits on that appreciation. So the text can be as simple as the one that I received last week. I appreciate you because you go with me to drink grapefruit green tea. Yep, green tea. I have another friend who's committed themselves to only say things that contribute to the health, healing, or growth of a person. Needless to say, she no longer orders fast food. I don't know if I could commit to something like these two are doing. I have to be honest, it feels pretty daunting. But I think I could try, at least once a week, to say something that affirms the image of God in someone else. And I wonder if you would be interested in joining me. Perhaps the place we might try together is social media. For those who are on it, it would be a great option. If not, there's always email or phones or good old-fashioned cards. You see, James mentioned that not everyone should be a teacher, as teachers are held to a higher standard. But we need to remember what teachers were in James's time. They were people who had followers. And in contemporary society, communication has become so easy that we all have followers. Followers of our column in the newspaper, of our email distribution, of our blog, of our Christmas letters, followers of social media accounts. We all have followers. But I think nowhere is the impact of life-giving words aggregated so quickly as on social media. A cancer patient needs funding to complete treatment. A GoFundMe post is launched, and hours later, those words yield thousands of dollars, the exact amount that is needed for treatment. On the other hand, an angry person, mad at a local business, posts something denigrating, and suddenly, within hours, we have protesters outside the establishment chanting and throwing things. Watch the news for about 2 weeks, just 2 weeks, and you will see the great good and the great evil of words on social media. So as we work together this fall to keep community, I want to invite you, challenge you, to join me in affirming the image of God in others. I suggest starting on social media, but really there's no limitations. If you want to tell somebody you appreciate them because they like to drink green tea, I bet they'll love it. It might wind up in a sermon. You decide what words might be best and where to place those words. And maybe, bit by bit, we will train our tongue. Amen.